Hello, what's happening, everybody? Welcome back to the only podcast produced by three two-time winners of IMSA Spirit of the Race Award. You tuned into Check Engine Podcast. We are hosted on Spotify and streamed worldwide on all of your favorite podcasting platforms. After an extra week away celebrating Father's Day, happy belated Father's Day to all the dads out there. Nick, Andrew, and Tristan are back behind the microphones. How's it going, guys? Andrew, happy belated Dad's Day.
Well, thanks. Yeah. I just want to say, Nick hit the secondary group chat with just me and your dad, Tristan, say happy Father's Day. And I said it then and I'll say it again now. It's suspect. I'm not saying it, but it's a little suspect.
I'm built for efficiency, Andrew. And when I can knock happy Father's Day over and over and over again, if I can get a twofer, I'm going to take advantage of it.
Well, listen, I'll point this out. New house. Okay. Promotion. Beamer in the garage. Probably. We don't know. You just haven't told us yet.
I have not seen one. You can't go and look, but I can.
That's true. And you're sure it's not like a secret one, right? That he's just like a weekend BMW.
If he keeps it at the storage unit, that's...
Yeah. Have you ever seen a go-kart? I haven't. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you can come see it anytime. There's photographic evidence of that.
Fine.
But no, Andrew, your suspicions are a little bit misguided.
All right.
I was literally just, hey, I can get Ken and Andrew with one message here. So
that's true. And he did. And I did appreciate that. Because it feels, I guess now as the co-owner of a almost two-year-old, it feels way
owner.
Way more real. Because it's kind of like, okay, first Father's Day with an infant's kind of like, yeah, but nothing's really happened yet. You know what I mean? Because they're just kind of like little lumps and they're laying there and they're cute and all that stuff. But we had basically a perfect toddler, or a perfect baby, so there was nothing overly ridiculous or stressful about it.
Sure.
All credit to her. But this one feels real now. You know, like feels like there's fathering to be done on occasion, right? So it feels like more real.
You're imparting wisdom already?
Yeah. And it's weird how, like, she can figure out, I don't know. We have a really smart kid. It's terrifying. But just, the dynamics kind of build themselves, and it's just weird the way they align.
I mean, she comes by it honestly enough. Both of her parents are also terrifyingly smart. So.
Oh, stop it, you.
Ew. You are too much. Simply too much.
I'll give it up for my wife, though. She's smart, definitely. Jury's still out on me. Tristan, how are you? What's going on with you? From what I gather, based on the updates I'm getting, you've been just riding this new motorcycle all about the town and the country.
Not as much as I would like. We've actually finally gotten some rain around here, and so that's been not nice. And it was also roughly 1 million degrees hotter than the face of the sun here over the weekend. I was also camping. So, all those have conspired to put a little bit of a damper on motorcycling. However, not a significant one.
Well, wait, but I mean, when do you cross the threshold into man who starts to drive motorcycle in March and does not stop until November? When does that start?
It is a process. It needs to be worked up to. And for example, I would need a mesh jacket and some waterproof pants first. I'm currently restricted. Like, so that's for the high end. Like I would not have ridden this weekend without a mesh jacket. And the other side, I need the waterproof pants. I did get a really bomb ass adventure motorcycle jacket for the rest of the year.
There you go. See, birthday's coming up.
Yep. But, I've got the heated grips. I've got the, you know, the big box on the back. It's coming. It's on its way.
For sure.
Good for you. We're not a weekend update podcast, though.
We're not with the weekend update. I actually have some car news to share of the neat variety. I saw the new Toyota Crown. Looks like ass.
Okay.
I saw the Amazon electric delivery vehicle. Looks very cool and extremely cute. Really? And I saw, or got myself kind of stuck in, as did the rest of the people around me, the middle of a pack of 10 or so SRT vehicles, Challengers and Chargers, driving down the road, about 35 miles an hour, and driving with those, that accidental Lamborghini race group up to Road America last year has absolutely changed my perspective on how groups of cars travel. Because those sure. Lamborghinis doing a buck 50 drove way better than these assholes in SRTs driving 35 miles an hour. You guys are idiots. What is wrong with you? How do you not know how to conduct yourself at that low speed? It's just insane.
Maybe they only know how to conduct themselves at high speed.
Mm-hmm.
Doubtful. If you can't handle the road navigation, it's like,
no, so what one were
says,
they doing?
Oh, okay, we're taking the training wheels off my child's bike, but they have to be going 90 first. You know what I mean? It's like, you got to build up.
Well, what were they doing or not doing?
So, there was, I guess it's a bit of an unusual situation, right? So on this road we were traveling down, they were doing some construction that essentially closed the quote unquote middle lane. So we're coming up to an intersection. It's closed in the middle. Left is a left-hand turn lane. Right is the only travel through lane. Not that hard. So what this ingenious group of guys going in the left-hand lane decided to do is shoot one guy up the right-hand shoulder to pull in front of a line of cars and stop dead so he could wave the rest of the cars through. Fuck you.
No.
Die. The
way.
And I've never... All right, we're going to have to do this now, finally. It's been long enough. I just have to say to everyone driving in Nebraska, you suck. You are the worst drivers in the world. The amalgamation of shit that's happened to me here in the short time it's like nothing else. So not only did that happen, I was going to the grocery store. What an eventful trip this was. So that happened to me, the assholes in the SRTs, whatever, not necessarily a Nebraska thing. Idiots drive those cars all over the world. But I pull into the parking lot, the grocery store, and there's a like a flatbed truck parked across the end of some of a parking row, right? Just parked in the middle. Presumably the guy went to go get groceries. And these are one-way parking lanes, right? So you go up towards the store in one, away from the store next, one next, whatever. So I'm driving the correct way down this parking aisle past the truck parked in the middle, and some lady in a Kona blasts through going the wrong way on the other side and almost hits me as I'm pulling into park. And so I'm right in front of her as she almost like would have T-boned my car had she not slammed on the brakes. Then the fucking asshole honks at me. No, you idiot. You were doing everything possibly wrong. Like, you couldn't do anything else more wrong than you did it. And that is the way it goes here. I've never seen so many people going straight through an intersection decide to turn left or the other way around. People in left-hand turn lane decide to get back in the center. No one here understands how to commit to a mistake or that roads connect. And it's a grid system here. Every road is gridded. What is happening?
Stop.
What is happening here?
You violated the law.
Yes, they did violate the law and common sense. And
exactly.
If anyone I work with or lives here in Nebraska, or loves Nebraska, hears this, I just want you to know I mean every word of it. You are the worst drivers I've ever seen, and it is not close, including all the I states, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Idaho. You're worse than all of those. Why? It's not that hard. Driving is not that hard, but it is apparently extremely difficult.
Well, you and I were discussing the, like, you know, I got the new bike and you're like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe I could get a bike and like, it's coming back. Like, you know, maybe there's interest, blah, blah, blah. It's like, but where would I ride it? There are no interesting roads here. Maybe that's why. Maybe
I would also be killed immediately.
Like, maybe they're just used to driving it only straight or 90 degrees. So they don't feel the need to invest that much effort in something that to them seems like a very easy prospect. We come from hard mode, you know.
That's
and
true.
I don't know, just thought,
but
deep,
you know,
thoughts.
I mean, so the thing
or
is,
they're purposefully trying to make it interesting for themselves.
Yeah, it's
it
so,
is so
boring.
Boring. Otherwise,
yeah.
Granted, I've pointed this out many times. the inability to commit to a mistake is the single worst thing that you can do as a driver. Most of the time, when you cause an accident by being an idiot, the way out of that would have been to commit them to the mistake you made, whether it's a wrong turn, whether it's not turning. You know what I mean? Whether it's, oh, shit, there goes the road. Find your way back. What are we doing? Not slam on the brakes, not careen over to one side, not holding up a full line of traffic, decide that actually you aren't going to turn left. You're just going to go straight as the light after the light turns red. All of those are the decisions an idiot would make. And if you make those decisions, you are an idiot because you made them. I don't understand. Why would you do any of that?
Especially in this day and age where even if it's just like, you know, bolting your phone to the dashboard, everybody's got GPS at this point for the most part. Like if you miss a turn, you will still get there. You can wait.
As both of you described, it's flat and everything is square. If you miss a road, there's a road that goes directly the same direction you were going 20 feet away. You probably wouldn't even notice a time difference. What are we doing? Why are we doing it this way?
It's maddening sometimes. You're right. Like, commit to a mistake. You made a mistake. Find a parking lot and turn around if you have to. Like
anything other than just fucking AI bot driving that shit through traffic. Good luck, everybody else. That is a thing, right? In Grand Theft Auto 5 has been out long enough. People have analyzed the way the AI drives, and truly, they try to slam into you if you're going over a certain speed. It feels like that here, where you're just driving along doing something completely normal. Out of nowhere, someone strokes out and their car shoots across five lanes of traffic to try and murder me specifically, or my wife. Like I said, it's just nonsense. You can't all be this bad.
Well, maybe they're coming for you now because you're insulting them.
Now they're just out to get you.
Yeah, you're a target now.
I mean, every word of it. You're the worst drivers I've ever seen. Genuinely.
To be clear, I'm not trying to get you to back down or back off your statement.
Tristan, you will see. When you come here, you will see. You will know the pain.
I don't know. I don't think I saw driving a lot worse than what I saw coming home on Saturday night from the campground.
Uh-oh.
I was towing a trailer, and that makes everything more worse. But there are people like just driving at 75 miles an hour on the freeway and then just stabs the brakes for no reason. Like, no deer, no nothing. Like, you know, I can only react to their brake lights. I can't react to anything else because there is nothing else.
Right.
It's like, that is just unacceptable.
that is a very Wisconsin thing, though. I've noticed that, like, the just check? the random brake tap for no reason.
Maybe if it was a tap, I wouldn't care. It's like this person was towing a boat and like just slammed on the brakes. Like, that is not safe for you, and it's super not safe for me. So, but I will see.
I just wanted you to know that. They were
I'll be visiting the great state of Nebraska over the July 4th weekend, and we shall see what this is all about.
We'll do some driving. There's an interesting museum here, Nick, that I think we're going to try to go to, the National American Museum of Speed.
You were saying that earlier this season. That's weird to say still, even though we've been doing this for five or six years.
I think we're gonna check it out, and maybe it's cool, maybe it'll be lame, I don't know.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
Put your investigative hats on.
That's right. What else I see? I don't think I really saw any other cool cars. Just the Amazon thing was pretty cool, though. I liked that. It was it's larger than like the traditional vans I've been using. And it looks super friendly. No, seriously, because it's got the round headlights and then there's also the indicators. And yeah. It just looks really friendly. And it has the Amazon thing in place of a badge, right? There's Amazon on the front.
Interesting. Like, it's going to give you a little hug.
The post office has customized vans around here that have the USPS like Eagle logo on front of just a regular old van. Like, it's not like an actual like mail truck or anything. It's just a van, but instead of whatever badge was supposed to be there, it's the Eagle headed USPS logo. It's kind of weird to see. I was trying to figure out what the van was.
I was looking at, oh shit, they're Rivians. I forgot.
Yes.
I've seen the Rivian SUV around here. Not the what's the R1T or 1RT?
Yeah, the R1T is the truck.
No, yeah. I've seen the SUV, a couple of them driving around here already. I was surprised to see them so soon. They look better than the truck. They do look better than the pickup, I'll say that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know I've seen the R1S in real life. Definitely seen the R1T. I am pretty sure I haven't seen this. I did also see the Wagoneer. What's the biggest Wagoneer now?
The Grand Wagoneer?
Grand Wagoneer.
That's too large.
$90,000.
It's too large. That's silly. It's foolish. It's exactly the Excursion, but even bigger because safety now. So it's even bigger.
Yep.
The R1S in white looks like Baymax from Big Hero 6.
Underrated movie, by the way. That movie was actually quite good.
I like that movie a lot.
I googled a picture of it and was like, holy shit, that's Baymax.
Sorry. It was the Grand Wagoneer L. The longer one. 226.7 inch wheelbase.
Ugh.
That's a lot of inches.
But why? Look, the fucking headlines for this. Increased cargo capacity. No shit. Oh my god.
if you're the seasonal driver for UPS, you're set with the Grand Wagoneer.
Get one of these.
Yeah.
Sheesh. Anyways.
Anywho.
Anyone else see anything cool?
Did I tell you guys? I think I said it last time. I saw the 296.
Yep.
Okay. Yes. So that's not news anymore.
It's been kind of a slow year for seeing cool cars. I don't have an explanation for that.
No, but I do have something cool, Andrew. We as a podcast have something cool because we have not been recording an episode since we launched our very own web store, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. I forgot about that. The web store.
CEPswagshop.com. You need a phone case? We got you. You need a mug? We got you. We've got three different types of t-shirts with different inside jokes and phrases from the show that only your hosts and the other fellow listeners are going to know. And it might pique someone's curiosity if you're wearing it to the racetrack. We've got backpacks. We've got soccer slides, both the original logo and Andrew's awesome golf knockoff logo on a soccer slide. CEPswagshop.com. Go support the show. Go get yourself some Check Engine Podcast swag, ladies and gentlemen.
Hell yeah, I got to get some. That, oh my gosh, I forgot. We haven't recorded in so long. We also didn't talk about Camaro and Le Mans and that.
So Tristan and I stayed up for almost the entire 24 hours. And if you didn't know any better, you wouldn't know that the Camaro was even racing. Like, they gave it zero coverage.
Yeah, it was really weird.
But funny, because large.
Yep, you're right. It looked very goofy compared to the prototypes. Not as much compared to the GT cars.
Not at all, Gustav. All right, anyways. I will say this. I think I wish more races would have something like this. Some lunatic who sees a homologated race car and thinks, yeah, I could put this where it doesn't belong. Now, from what I remember, it lapped pretty well until it needed a complete gearbox replacement.
Yeah, there was a transmission issue in, I don't know, the last third or last quarter of the race, but
so it was a bunch of laps down, but
finished
the race.
finished the race. And
that is more than what, 22? 2022 was it, the body count for this race?
Yeah, it was a bloodbath.
It was a bonkers, bonkers race. Like, even if you wanted to try to fall asleep, like, there was something happening that would wake you up. The announcers would yell because something crazy was going on. Or just as your eyes start to doze, there's another Porsche hypercar backwards in Indianapolis or Arnage. Like, it's just, it would rain only in the Porsche curves. Nowhere else.
This is where it rains this year. Right here. Exactly right here.
It was sunny for 7.2 miles, and this 1 mile through the Porsche curves was standing water. Hydroplaning, standing water. There was pirouetting GT cars that would hit the grass and speed up.
Oof.
It was one of the more entertaining Le Mans races I've seen in quite some time. And
yeah, a lot of lead changes and stayed close right up until the end. People who you thought were out of it weren't, which was crazy. Like, as I feel like nobody, almost nobody had like a totally clean race. You're like, oh man, they had to go behind the pit wall to fix that. They're toast. And then like the three people above them would have to do the same thing in the next 15 laps. And it was close again. Like, it was, you know, it was a very, very entertaining race. Sometimes when they get that long, you know, overnight is basically just like, don't bother staying up, just sleep, because it's going to be, you know, preserve your position and don't race overnight. Nope, right. Not this year.
Well, shit, the Corvette won GTE AM and came from two laps down to do it.
Yeah, it and charged.
And like, for people who aren't familiar, two laps down is like, well, that's not a huge deal. That's hard on a 2.5 mile track. They were essentially 16 miles behind.
Yeah, right. Yeah. With as big as that track is, yeah.
And they came back to win it. So, yeah, you really didn't know where to look next. What did they say, Tristan? Was it, the Glickenhaus was, the Glickenhaus and the Van Wall were the only two hypercar teams that did not lead. So a Porsche led, a Cadillac led, a Toyota led, a Ferrari led, a Peugeot led. So five of the seven manufacturers saw time in the overall lead. It wasn't like Toyota just went out and lapped everybody because they're the most experienced group. It was really, really good. And Ferrari won, which
they did.
I mean, given Ferrari's history in recent races, I think Tristan has a soundbite from a fellow Italian that can describe what Ferrari has been like lately.
I do.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
They happen to be good at Le Mans, and they pulled off the overall victory. And then it's their first time racing for the overall win in 50 years.
And they took it.
And they got it. So. Yeah.
Gotta love it.
So, Forza Ferrari. Have you seen all the memes now for Formula One where they Photoshop the hypercar into the Formula One grid? It says the only way Ferrari's gonna catch Red Bull this year.
Oh, boo.
That is so sad. Actually, I haven't checked the F1 point standings. Where are we here?
Max Verstappen, 2 million. Everyone else, 3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yep. So
it's over Max already.
At the top, 195. Perez, 126. He's ghost. He's fucking ghost. Lewis Hamilton, 102, and that's fourth.
Yeah, he's almost
89 points between first and fourth.
He's won. Max has
more than
won.
That. I can't count.
Six races in a row.
Yeah, it's just
he's. Monaco, he led every single lap and won by 35 seconds, which
whoa.
Which in Monaco is about a half a lap. They do like a minute 7 or a minute 8 laps there when they're really cooking. So he was almost a half a lap ahead of second place at Monaco.
I mean, am I just never, am I always going to have an excuse to not watch F1, or is this, or are we just in the era of wire to wire dominance?
what it looks like.
Someone's got to do it. Seabass, Lewis Hamilton.
I'm hoping for some attrition where Fernando's been on the podium almost every single race. I so want to see him win again. It would be so cool. But he's got, I mean, it's just no shot.
Yeah.
As long as Verstappen's car is running, there is no shot.
It's crazy. It's just crazy. And, well, you know, now having Perez at two, right? There was at least some sort of gap between them with last year. There were, well, not filler positions, but, you know, it wasn't like team dominance. This is what we are used to seeing out of Mercedes. And I can't imagine how Hamilton feels about it.
I don't know what he's like behind closed doors. He's doing and saying all the right things in public. You know, we're working hard. We're coming with developments. It's an honor to try to fight to the top with this team and yada, yada, yada. I don't know how much of it he actually means.
I mean, he's not finishing bad. Nothing outside the top 10.
He's had
six
a couple
is his lowest podiums, finish.
Yeah, he's had a couple of podiums recently. Like, the window is massive to say they're in the window. It's like the entire side of a fucking building, but yeah, he's not like struggling for points. He's fighting with literally 19 other guys to win the I'm not Max Verstappen class.
Yeah.
Basically.
What about maybe next year, you know, maybe next year F1 will gain my much coveted attention.
Oh, we said we were going to do this. We were going to do a check after five or six races to see if it's worth
it.
It's not worth it.
It has not been worth it
yet. It has not been worth it.
It never fails. It never fails.
You know what was worth it, though?
What's that?
The IndyCar race at Road America.
Hey!
Which we also haven't recorded since that was covered.
The IndyCar race at Road America was great. That whole weekend was great. Beautiful weather. The race was on Sunday. There was a small stretch in the middle where they spread out a bit, but it was, you know, Colton Herta seemed like he had the thing in the bag. And not only did they pit him one lap too early, which at Road America is a big mistake because that means 4 miles.
So you missed by 4 miles. Yeah.
But they also didn't, I don't know if I told you this, Tristan, it was announced a couple of days later that they also didn't get all the fuel in on that last stop.
Oh, ooh. No, I didn't catch that update.
Oofies.
So they told him, this is when we're pitting, you're going to have to get this fuel number. So he knew he was going to have to conserve for the last 15 laps, I think it was. And then he pulled out of the pits and they're like, oh, by the way, we didn't fill it all the way up. You actually need to hit this number.
And he's like, well, I can't stay in the lead with that number.
So he went from first to fifth or sixth.
Yeah.
And he couldn't use his push to pass because that would burn up too much fuel. He was Marcus Ericsson in Indianapolis. He was a sitting duck. Like, he had nothing. So Alex Palou, third win of the year. Second win in a row as a basically a lame duck driver, because he's off to McLaren in some capacity next year, whether it's IndyCar or Formula One. So in his last year with Ganassi, he's got a pretty healthy lead too now. I think he's got like a race and a half margin over Ericsson.
Yep.
So he's put together a really solid springtime here. Three wins in four races. If he would have won the 500, he'd be 4-for-4 in the last 6 weeks for IndyCar.
Dang.
So he's going to be a tough one to beat down the stretch. But IndyCar is one of those where like anything can happen. There was a crazy practice crash between Dixon and Power. Dixon made a very un-Dixon-like stupid move, spun on his own, was trying to let cars by. One car went by and he thought that was it. So then he tried to move offline, but he didn't look in his mirror and see that Power was coming, and Power just drilled him, destroyed both cars. Ganassi said, fuck it, and just went to a backup car. Power's team, Penske, tried to fix it, and they did, but they were rushing so bad to get it ready in time for qualifying that he went out for qualifying with a screwdriver rattling around between his legs that they didn't get out of the cockpit.
Yay.
They both
slightly distracting.
They both started way in the back. I think like 23rd and 24th out of 27 guys. And then Dixon being put on a very Scott Dixon-esque drive and ended up finishing fourth. So minimized the damage there and there kept him within a... It's on the horizon. It's far away, but he still has a very slim chance at fighting for what would be a seventh championship. So,
and then
that was my take, Tristan. What was yours? You were there too.
Well, no, like I said, that was, you know, I was only there Sunday, so I can only comment on the race itself. And I think that, yeah, they're, you know, Dixon fighting up through the pack, Colton hurt his last minute fuel whoopsie, and a lot of other little stuff. Like we had talked about how there's a new surface at Road America that is messing with people too. They tend to overcommit because of two things. They think, hey, new surface, it's nice and grippy, and all of their landmarks are missing. So like, hey, I always braked at that oil spot or that crack in the pavement. All those are gone. So they have to figure out where their, you know, braking begins, where their turn in begins, all the rest of that stuff. And people were overcommitting badly, running wide. There were a lot of cars on the grass. And that caused a lot of mid-pack shuffling also, which provided a lot of good racing. Even if it wasn't for the lead, you got a lot of passes, you know, visible from where we were sitting at turn five, up the hill, around turns, you know, 6, 7, 8, and up off of 14 up the front straight, because people would, you know, they took, you know, the, you know, out of Canada corner too hard and weren't set up for 14. It was a lot of good racing, and a lot of those cars on the grass, or all of those cars on the grass. Nick, somebody had a particular issue with that, didn't they?
Yeah, the aforementioned Will Power. And this is, I don't know if you guys caught this story afterwards. It didn't make a lot of press, but it went around the social media, you know, community, like the IndyCar social community. So Will Power took a few rides off course. There was the Dixon one that was not his fault, and there was like two or three other ones that were absolutely his fault. And he, granted, he had a very, very rough Saturday, and he was very, very frustrated. But he was kind of went on a rant on the qualifying coverage. It was talking about how terrible it is off track when you go off track at Road America, and how much it hurts your back and your tailbone. And it's like, well, number one, stay on the gray part and you don't have to worry about it. You're a professional driver.
Yeah.
And this isn't like Formula One where they have miles of pavement and just a strip of paint to mark where the actual boundary is. Like, these are old school courses that are supposed to penalize you for going off. But then he basically, he summed it all up by saying, basically, this is just a shit track. So what the Road America president did was get one of those trucks that empties out the porta potties, a shit truck.
Yeah.
And park it in front of Will Power's motorhome. The president of the track drove a shit truck in front of Will Power's motorhome.
That's great.
It was so cool. Only at Road America does that kind of stuff happen.
That's great.
Yeah. If you're going to complain about how bad it is off-road for your racetrack vehicle,
very odd.
Perhaps you should just stay on the racetrack.
I mean... Yeah, it's hard to say. What would he have liked? Would he have preferred to go into a gravel trap to have his team spend 45 minutes clearing all the shit out of the bottom? Like, what would he have preferred? What would you rather, Will?
Big paved runouts,
I guess.
Like, might be in the wrong sport. See if you can get into F1, but they race on street courses. So,
yeah, there's no runoff there either.
Nope. So, I mean, that's just it. What, he just wants to race on COTA?
COTA and what's that one in France? Paul Ricard. Le Castellet.
Yeah, Paul Ricard, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
That's it.
So, that's it.
Also, the beach. I know, Tristan, you didn't get a chance to go. I sent you guys some pictures. As soon as they run power back there, so they're not willpower, but actual electric power. Electric power back there, so you can put a legit PA and possibly, hopefully, pipe dream, a big screen back there by the kink.
That'd be a good spot.
That might be the best spot to watch. Like, who doesn't want to lay back in a teal or turquoise lawn chair under a thatch roof umbrella with an island drink and watch Indy cars peel off into the kink at 170 plus going flat? I mean,
that, like, that is great. Formerly, that corner, which does have incredible sight lines on one of the most interesting corners in all of motorsport, was just a heat blasted hellhole. I remember.
Yeah, it was an absolute wasteland.
It's awful. It was, well, not anymore. It was completely awful because there was nothing.
Nothing over there. They put a couple little bleachers in, but they graded it so it's almost amphitheater style.
Oh,
lawn
nice.
Chair seating. They painted off and coned off what looks to be about the dimensions of a beach volleyball court.
Hey.
Which poses another question, like what happens if a ball goes out of the track?
But, I mean, I think they would discourage beach volleyballing, but
I mean, that was the most relaxed I felt in a very long time.
He was in his element.
It was awesome. Home.
Yeah, as long as the umbrellas are large enough that I can continuously scooch underneath them, then I'd be fine there.
They're the big ones, dude.
So if it is still a sunblasted hellscape, this particular vampire will have to decline.
Yeah.
No, but good on you, Road America. But,
yeah, I would love to get a chance to go out there and fight
now,
right?
Andrew, you should come back for IMSA.
What weekend is that? First weekend in August, of course.
Yep.
Right.
They just finished up Sailing 6 Hours at the Glen yesterday.
Yeah.
An event we frequented twice. Congrats to 2-time former guest Aaron Tielitz and his co-drivers for winning their class in GTD. Big win. One of the crown jewels of the sport. Aaron picked up some hardware there, so good on you, man.
Given how bad it was the first time, I have such positive things to think about Watkins Glen now after the ridiculous, abhorrent time we had the first time we went there.
Yes, it's definitely a tale of two trips.
I'm glad we gave it a second chance.
Yeah, yes,
for sure. Anyways, man, we just been talking out our asses.
When we take so many weeks off, do we even have time for a topic anymore? Jeez.
Well, we can. We can. We're going to do game night tonight anyway, so we can just fake it, you know, and then eventually we'll make it. What we were thinking is car themed. I don't know. What do you call these campfire games? That's always what I've thought of them as.
Like campfire, like middle school sleepover,
road trip,
Yeah, not party necessarily.
Middle school party, not like our age, adult
not
party.
Yeah, Pictionary.
For the refined 30 plus year olds.
Charades.
Right. And it's tough via internet too, right? Because you can't do truth or dare because there's no dare. You can't do never have I ever because there's no reasonable punishment and we're not drinking. So we kind of have very few options. But would you rather, I think, is on the table. Truth or truth is on the table, which is basically just answer the question or you're naughty.
Or you get sanctioned.
Yes. You get sanctioned by the UN.
Yes.
Or fuck, marry, kill, which I think is maybe an interesting one. We can figure that out. But we could start with a would you rather. We could start with a little bit of that.
Yeah, Nick had a great rewording as rent by scrap for rent cars. Scrap. It was great.
Okay. Sure.
instead of FMK.
Yeah.
Just because it's car themed, but hey, we don't have to. I pulled it out
my ass. Honestly.
But yeah, let's start with a would you rather.
Okay, let's see here. Would you rather drive a car that looked like a chicken or a car that sounded like a chicken?
Oh man. Sounded like a chicken. 100%. I would get endless amusement from that. I know it would get annoying eventually, but so would driving one that looked like one. But it would be a little bit of annoyance for me and an eminent annoyance for the entire world around me. And it would be so amazing just to go.
That's it. We're sitting at lights going.
as you floor it, chicken car with exactly. Launch mode.
Oh, man.
Launch control.
How vehemently and passionately and quickly you jumped in to answer that question.
Yes,
absolutely.
He was ready.
I knew the answer to that one for myself.
Wow.
Because cars with weird noises just crack me up to no end. The kind of mystical jingle that the Hyundais give out when they're backing up in hybrid mode, like,
yeah,
just all that stuff. I love the weird car noises. It's the only thing I like about Tesla is that you can make it play noises. That's, you know.
I think I would go opposite on this one. Because the car would get a lot of looks. Obviously, if it looks like a chicken, you would have to answer a lot of questions. You'd be the centerpiece of any car meetup or car show you go to. Sure. But then you underneath you could have the ultimate sleeper, right? That could
be something
very highly tuned, very high performance.
It just sounds like a chicken.
I think. Well, that's the thing.
Think
okay,
about
so
that.
You're
like,
at the car
if,
meet.
If I'm not close, or yeah, if you're at the car meet and the car is off, the hood is open. You've got a 15 liter V10 under there. You know, it's like this amazing car. And you turn it on, it goes. Think about that. That's a sleeper sound build right there.
Yeah, I thought of that because our neighbor down the way has chickens, and they're almost silent all the time. Sometimes you just hear them go, almost timidly, and then they shut up for like days at a time. So when we first moved in here, I wasn't sure if I was hearing chickens because it would only happen every now and then. Okay. All right. Good.
Well, what's your answer?
Oh, obviously the sound.
Really?
Clearly the correct answer.
Oh, come on.
For exactly the reason that Tristan outlined.
Listeners, answer that question for us.
Okay. This one, I guess, is mostly for Nick, but also, Tristan can answer too. Would you rather have the Corvette been kept front rear, but have the Camaro be faster around a track? Or would you rather have the Corvette been kept front rear, but turned into an SUV?
Ooh. So mid-engine or SUV basically is the choice.
No, you can keep the Camaro's front. You can keep the Corvette front rear, but the Camaro becomes faster around a track.
Or
it gets kept front rear as an SUV.
So I may be in the minority here, but I understand, and we've talked about this on the show, why Chevy didn't want to do this or General Motors didn't want to do this. Me personally, I wouldn't care if a Camaro was faster around the track. So I would take that option rather than have it be turned into an SUV.
Okay.
What do you guys think?
I would also pick that simply because it's kind of unbearable. The concept of a Corvette SUV is pretty unbearable. I think we, yeah, right?
Yeah, and especially, Kristen? Because we talked about that in general. But I think specifically if the option is also, that's all it becomes, Like, it's not an addition. It's like, right. It stays front rear, but hey, now it's an SUV. That's it. There's no sports car anymore. Like, that would just be the actual end of, you know, the Corvette as a sports car. So I'd rather have the Camaro be faster around the track and keep the Corvette.
Yeah, so. That's a good point. The Camaro being faster would be the lesser of two evils in that scenario.
Definitely. I do wonder what the sales would have been like after. I mean, let's say that once, right, the Camaro, if the Camaro's faster or as fast one time, whatever, but if it happened over a period of years, over a generation, you know what I mean? So 3-5 years, I wonder if the sales shift. I wonder if the demographic shifts. The Camaro starts creeping up. The Corvette starts creeping down. You know what I mean? Price-wise, like, interesting.
Does yeah, it change I mean, it, anything?
Yeah, exactly.
It could. I think with as, you know, if we play that scenario out, the people who are coming into the financial position to be able to buy a car like that, if they see that the Camaro is faster, so like our generation, basically, you know, in and around the low to mid 30s, like come into that position to be able to buy, and they see through TikTok and social and YouTubes and all the other shit that the Camaro is the car. I could see it shifting. Like the Corvette's my dad's car, my grandpa's car. The Camaro is going to be mine, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Would you rather drive a car that can shrink down to the size and weight of a toy car, or a car that can grow to the size of a monster truck but keeps the same proportions?
So it's just like a massive vehicle, but without like
off-road capabilities.
It's not all tires.
Correct. Like, it's just 2.5 times the size of it as it normally would be.
Tiny car.
Now, seems weird, but this is how the genies get you on a technicality.
Okay.
Assuming I am in the car, would I also shrink down? Or could it only happen like so I could put it in my pocket and take it with me?
You could be in it, you would be immediately killed.
Okay.
You would not shrink with the car. Nor would you I guess shit, because that doesn't work for the grow one then, does it? Because you wouldn't have to
because if you keep the same dimensions, you wouldn't be able to drive it, the steering wheel would be.
Okay, wait. But then that one just works somehow. When you're in it, you are the appropriate size to drive the large car, but it does not work that way for this one. Oh no, fuck it. You grow and shrink appropriately with the size of the car. That's easy.
Okay. Then the first one for me.
The tiny car.
Small car.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Because I would love to be able to, like, I know there'd probably be other things you have to, you know, do still, but like if I could just take my car, put it in a little box, put it in my backpack, and take it with me on vacation, and I have to rent a car, like, that'd be great.
Or drive around your house in a tiny car.
Yeah, or if traffic is really bad, just shrink down to toy car size and drive underneath everybody.
Yeah.
Or cool. Drive, you know, you come home, you drive through, like, the sill that's not completely sealed off in your garage into your house, right to your Hot Wheels track, and do a couple of loop-de-loops.
Yeah.
And then you
without even having to get out, like you're strapped in, you're ready to go.
And you need a full-size garage. You just need like a shed for all your yard stuff and your tools.
That's true.
Yeah.
You could park it pocket-sized.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a tiny car.
Yeah.
That's fair. Would you rather drive a car that is equipped with a talking robot or communicates to you with funny and quirky one-liners? The robot just beeps and boops.
Like so R2. The robot doesn't have human language.
No, it's like an R2-D2. So you have like a screen, kind of like in Star Wars, remember, Tristan? On the X-Wing, Luke has a screen.
Yeah. Yep. No, we're going
you
to Dagobah.
Learn to communicate with the droid or... I guess you have a sassy Tesla AI in your car.
I would take the droid, especially if it came with all the other cool astromech stuff. Like, I wouldn't have to drive because it was actually smart enough to drive.
Well, cars can do that now, don't you know?
Nope. Nope. I don't know.
They don't. No, they do not.
It's called autopilot?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, like, if it was like a fully Star Wars level intelligent, like build, even like, even if it's not a separate thing, it was just built into the car, but like a built-in Star Wars droid that could navigate, drive for me, you know, repair the car even maybe a little bit. I take that.
This is a tough one.
Over the sassy yet utterly useless AI.
This is a really tough one.
He didn't say utterly useless. He just said sassy, goofy, quirky one-liners.
Yeah, it'll be super cringe all the time.
So you,
that just makes it sound bad. See, yeah. I want that.
Well, because I can't think of a way to upsell that here. One. I can't find a way to upsell that one. It's as funny as the funniest Marvel movie. Did that help at all?
Well, because I'm just thinking Tristan did fulfill that role. He was passenger
wow,
seat.
Holy shit.
No, but it was funny. Like he said yeah. He was there for navigation and witty anecdotes and one-liners. When we drove, we left here at like 3 a.m. to get down to Indianapolis by 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. when I was still job hunting back right out of college. So he was that for me. So that's got a kind of a little special place to have like the witty one-liners on a long road trip. But droid.
Yeah.
Love me some R2-D2.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Would you rather have somewhere in your family pipeline a super rare vintage car coming to you, you know, through the lines of progression? Maybe the current owner's not dead yet. Maybe it's a uncle, whatever, your funny uncle has mm-hmm. a super rare car that will pass to you. Or would you rather have the same funny uncle give you cash and say you have to buy a very expensive car with this, but it has to be brand new? Legacy or technology?
Technology.
Wow, that's really surprising. I did not think you'd say that, Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of in a weird spot because a lot of the stuff that I would want to buy isn't necessarily like classic, but it's not new either. Like, you know, like it's all early 2000s stuff that I would love to, you know, pass to me. So, you know,
but
depending
I mean, that's
on,
fair. We're you know, 2023 here. So that would,
yeah,
say it would be something from there or it could be older, but something, yeah, for the 2000s, probably be what, like a twin turbo Supra or, you know, something that you actually want with value from that time period.
Yeah. So, yeah, or a little earlier, if you know that we're getting to classic now, if we go back to 80s stuff, but like, yeah, if I had an uncle that was like, you can either have the, you know, the Quattro Coupe or some money, be like, nope, I know what I'm taking, you know, for example, like, yeah.
So my line of thinking on this is if my funny uncle, like, kept this as a trailer queen, like, just under a sheet, towed it to shows or never took it out, and then I inherited it. If I were to drive it, I would feel guilty.
Interesting. Okay.
Like I would feel like, okay, I need to keep this thing just under a sheet somewhere and tow it around, versus if I just had a lump sum of cash, I could go buy my own car and then not feel guilty about driving it because that's my decision. I made that I will accept that risk, you know, to go do that.
Yeah, we're actually, you know, similar. There's a weird equivalency with my dad and the motorcycle he got from his uncle, where like it's getting to the point where it's tough for my dad to ride that bike because his legs are so long. You know, it was never easy. And if you get, you know, one injury or whatever, it makes it hard because he's, you know, cramming his, you know, over 6 foot frame onto a tiny Japanese motorcycle. And he's like, well, I don't want to get rid of it. I feel bad. Like they gave it to me. It's kind of a family heirloom now. Like, you know, what do we do with it? And, you know, Nick puts you in that position of, you know, even if you do decide, well, hey, it's just a vehicle. It can be repaired. Even if the insurance company says it's been totaled, you know, I can still take the payout and still pay more to fix it myself. You know, like it, you know, vehicles can be repaired. It's fine. I don't worry about driving it, But like, if you ever needed to get rid of it for some reason or whatever else, like then it would make it, it would make it tougher because someone gave you something that they cared deeply about versus just like, oh, well, I'm just turning that money he gave me into money for something else now because I sold the car, you know, like I get that.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, let's just mix it up a little bit because I would pick. I think I'd also take the money. That just seems more reasonable. But what if it's a race car? What if it's like a late model or super late model or something like that coming down the pipeline? Or you can have MX-5, brand new MX-5 race car.
That's tough.
Thought that one might be harder.
Because I want to do both very badly.
Yeah, I'd probably stick with MX-5 myself, but that's just because of a kind of an interest in that more. Like if you're maybe looking at like some of the stuff that runs up at Road America with like Brian Redman weekends, like some of those classic like Trans Am, Can Am cars, like maybe that would be something that would make me consider it. That
sure.
Like I'll go back for the classic one instead.
I think I'd have to go classic because I think that would engage my interest more, you know?
I would. Yeah, I'd agree with that. That'd be a tough one, but I would agree with that.
Okay, what else? Would you rather have a car that changes color based on your mood or a car that plays a different theme song every time you start the engine? The theme song plays the entire time you drive.
Oh.
Whoa.
It's traveling music.
So it's not just like WWE walk-in music.
No. It plays the whole time.
Well, then I'd take the mood ring car. Then I would just get annoyed eventually.
Yep.
Well, I mean, it could be, you know, like it won't be like the same 8 bars or whatever. It would, you know, kind of because the car changes with your mood. The music would also change based on the drive.
So it's providing,
but it would make it very hard to hear music.
It's providing constantly apropos background music, but you'd never be able to listen to your own music.
Correct.
I would still go with the mood ring.
I'd go with mood ring car, but I'd be curious to see how the music one did. If it was accurate, if it really fit, like I gotta say, it's a tougher one. I'm curious about the music one, but I feel like I want to listen to my own audiobooks and podcasts and music and stuff. So I'd
be fair.
I can't have constant.
I think I'd
music.
Go with the theme song. Like, yeah, I need the theme song. That seems way more interesting to me. Yeah.
Mood ring for me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've done this for so long. Might as well just do a couple more and finish out the episode here. We can do more later.
Yeah, we can do another game night.
Yeah, we can use it as a nice segment. Game time.
There you go. Let's see here. Would you rather have a car that can teleport to any location instantly or a car that can time travel, but it does not disguise itself? It's very much the wheel, very much Back to the Future rules. The DeLorean stays a DeLorean in all time periods.
Say it again.
Would you rather have a car that is can go to any location, transport to any location instantly, or travel in time but stays the same car as you go backwards in time?
First one. I don't like time travel.
Seems like a very hard stance.
Time travel.
I don't like it.
Time travel's messy, and it's not as fun as you think it's going to be.
Do you know from experience?
Voice of experience, yeah.
Nope, I just know from history. Remember, dysentery was still very much a thing not that long ago. You don't want to go back in time. Maybe you want to go forward in time, but it could all be a post-nuclear hellscape in the future, so I feel like being able to teleport instantly to any location is far more useful. Like, road trips are fun if you want to take a road trip. But there are also times where, like, if I could get in my car in the morning and be like, work, boop, and I never had to drive to work again, I could live anywhere in the country and still work where I work right now.
Think of how much you'd save.
No question. Like, hey, I want to live in Alaska and still work in Menominee Falls. No problem. Boop, there we go. Like, yeah. You know.
So the car is more, you can still actually drive the car. It's not just a teleportation machine, correct?
Correct, yes.
Right, that was my assumption.
Number one for sure. Yeah. Then number one. Then the teleport car for sure.
No one's curious about time. I also think time travel is stupid because everything that happened before like 1950 kind of sucked and was awful. I would also pick the teleportation.
It's eminently useful. I was going to pick the time travel car until I verified that you could actually drive your teleporting car also. If it was just a teleportation machine, then I could rather drive my one car in multiple different time periods. But if you can both teleport and drive, then yes, that's what I'm going to do.
Especially if it doesn't disguise itself and, you know, the cowboys are going to be like, what's that? What's that from outer space? Like, you know. Like
Doc Brown.
Yeah, no thanks.
I guess we can end with the question that has haunted car fans throughout eternity. Would you rather have
three Mini Cooper sized Cadillacs or one Cadillac sized Mini Cooper?
Oh, that's so easy. Cadillac sized Mini Cooper. Every time.
For sure.
Every time.
Horse-sized chickens or chicken-sized horse or whatever.
Yeah, no, exactly. That one's easy. Would you rather have a car, functions as a car, but can transform into a working boat, or a car, still a regular car, but can transform into a working airplane? Not a helicopter, airplane.
The practical applications of the plane are interesting. The recreational applications of the boat are also interesting, especially hitting the boat ramp at 40 and just skipping across the lake.
It would be like that one
the Amphicar.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, the Amphicar.
Or anything James Bond has ever driven.
Yes.
Or anything James Bond has ever driven.
Right, yes, correct.
He's also driven ones that turn into planes.
Like a small Jeep-sized Wisconsin Duck.
That would be pretty tight.
Would be cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But you can get a lot... you would still have your car's fuel capacity, right? You wouldn't have like a jet fuel capacity. Because you wouldn't be able to get very far with your plane car at that point.
Let's say the range is appropriate, but somehow, you know, your car gets about 300 miles to a tank of gas. You can also fly for the same radius that you could drive.
Okay. I think that case I would drive. I mean, fly. Do the car that turns into a plane. Yes.
Yeah. Just looking at my life and the realities and practicalities of how far I often drive, like, you know, being able to fly it at, you know, 100 and, you know, whatever plus miles an hour and not worrying about traffic and things like that. Like being able to fly down to my sister's house in a couple hops, like that'd be nicer than driving down there. That kind of thing.
Look at my life.
I mean, I would pick the plane too for obvious reasons, but why don't we ever believe that they exist?
Because they don't.
Because they don't.
That,
and
that
never
guy
will,
in
yeah.
Slovenia built one or whatever.
Yeah, he did.
I bet he did. And what was the thing we read a couple months ago? Delta's committed to bringing air taxis to Chicago by 2025.
They did, in fact, show it flying on the Grand Tour.
Did they?
Yes, it actually
episodes also
it actually flies. Yeah,
Tour?
So it's actually a real thing. I don't know how reliable or what its range is, but it literally he drove it from his house to the airport, put out the wings and the propeller, took off, and then landed and folded everything else up and drove home like for the show. Yeah. So,
It's hard, bro. There were new episodes of Grand Tour.
Yes, it's very funny. It was actually a very good one. I was, not that we're a Grand Tour review show, but I was talking with my dad that, if this is all they want to do forever, a relatively tame European road trip and just be all hijinks, that's fine.
That would be totally
entertaining. So
we'll see what happens when Amazon drops Clarkson after next year, though.
Yeah. Yep.
Because also that.
Yep.
Womp womp.
Why couldn't he just stay quiet and hang out on his farm?
Wait, yeah, they're actually going to drop Clarkson? What do you say? What do you do?
Say, what hasn't he done at this point?
Oh.
Yeah.
I literally don't know.
He wrote in an opinion piece for, was it Daily Mail or one of the London papers, that was very, very derogatory towards Meghan Markle. And
Mr. Clarkson wrote to Prince Harry. Private and confidential.
Are you reading the article right now?
No, I'm just browsing through the thing. It just doesn't really say. Holy shit. he's a little wild.
Okay, he found
That's
it.
Funny.
Yep.
There it is.
That sound signifies that he's found it.
Oh boy. I mean,
so it's going to be another one of those things for Hammond and May. Do we go with Clarkson wherever he goes, or do we stay with Grand Tour on Amazon and try to do it either ourselves or with bring in somebody else?
Yeah. Jeez. Well, we'll see what happens, I guess. Man,
he's
not looking great. He's gotten quite old.
They all have.
Yes.
It's astonishing. But James May, I feel like James May in particular, has gotten as old as he's going to look for a very long time. And then he will just turn into dust. Like, he got old really fast and then has stayed the same. The rest of them have continued to catch up to him. And then Clarkson has gone past him.
I was watching some old Top Gear. I think it might have to be potentially the best show ever made. Old original Top Gear.
It was
very so fucking good.
Very good.
The writing, the photography, it was really, really good. That's why it was on for so long. And why people wanted it to continue elsewhere when it didn't get the chance to. So
it's just so good. Anyways. All right. Is that enough? So do we do a good?
I think we did a good.
We
Andrew.
Did.
Yes.
At least.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, we can wrap up. Before we do, we'd like to remind you how to get a hold of us if you do feel so inclined. You can find us on all of those social media platforms. Facebook, you can search Check Engine Podcasts. Andrew, where can they find us on Twitter?
At Check Engine Pod and on Mastodon at Check Engine Podcast at mastodon.social. I still have trouble saying that.
Yeah, it's a lot of ats. It's a lot of words. It's a little rough.
It's very long, but we're there. Come find us. Tristan, where can they find us on Instagram?
Also at Check Engine Pod. And I'll be adding a Fediverse equivalent there as well. So hopefully if anybody is, anti, big tech social media, we'll still be able to find us. We're going to add at Check Engine Pod at pixelfed.social. It's there, the Instagram equivalent. That's still in the process of being claimed. We may need to change that up in our own social media post to say, hey, it's actually something else. But I am in the process of getting that verified. So literally just this afternoon. So at Check Engine Pod at pixelfed.social. These all have two ads.
It's not easy.
Just a mouthful of marbles, man. But anyway, be sure to like, follow, share, post, DM, reach out to us on all those platforms how and when you can. You can ask us questions to answer on the air. You can answer Andrew's Would You Rather questions. Let us know what you would choose. Let us know what you like or dislike. Give us topic ideas. Would you rather questions maybe that we can answer down the line?
That you want to hear from us. Maybe you have your own thoughts. You want to know what we would do or you don't have your own thoughts and are looking for horrible advice, like riding around in a duck sounding car all the time.
That's right.
Chicken. That would be a good. That would be a good episode.
Chicken sounding car.
Ask us for horrible advice. And we just do an entire episode.
Regular it's just ask us for horrible. Advice. Yeah.
That would be. That would be an awesome episode. We should look more into that. Jot that down. but yes, find us on the socials. Reach out whenever you can. Thank you in advance. Now, on your phone, as you're listening to this, look at your screen. Find what platform you're on. On that platform, there is a subscribe button. Reach down now and hit that button for us, please. It's free, and all that's going to happen is that you get notified of any new content that we put out. And if you want to, hey, leave us a review on that platform too, preferably a good one. If you're really into what we're doing and would like to support us monetarily, I normally always say you have two options for that. You have three now. You can go to patreon.com/checkenginepodcast, or you can hit the support button on our homepage at Spotify for Podcasters. Or, as of a week ago, there is cepswagshop.com where you can go get your Check Engine podcast gear. Every cent donated or pledged or purchased is put toward making this podcast a better experience for you, the listener. Tristan's got so many new sounds on the soundboard. We only went through a small smattering of them today. It's because you guys are supporting us and allowing us the opportunity to get the rights to some of that stuff. So thank you again in advance. Guys, who or what are we shouting out before we get out of here?
When we recorded before, I was going to shout out my wife and her birthday and say happy birthday to her after, because, you know, birthday's in the front of the month. You want to extend the feeling, right? So happy birthday to Meg. And I mean, hopefully it's been a good month. We're still in the right month here. Yes. All right. Only about 20 days late.
Double checking.
So, yeah, you just got to make sure. Happy birthday to you. I love you.
There you go, Tristan.
I'd like to thank one HVAC technician / classic motorcycle restoration enthusiast, Trevor, with Kettle Moraine Heating and Air Conditioning. Most importantly, air conditioning. Because the room I am currently in would be absolutely unbearable without his excellent work this afternoon, replacing the blower motor capacitor on our furnace so that the air conditioning cold can actually make it where it needs to go instead of just making the furnace sheet metal very, very soggy because it's very, very cold in there, but nowhere else. For spreading the coolness to where we do our podcast, thank you, Trevor, with Kettle Moraine Heating and Air Conditioning.
All right. I don't know if we've ever made a rule or not that you can only do one shout out or thank you. If we did, I'm going to break it. And this is, it's a good one. And there's also, unfortunately, a more somber one. So first, I'd like to thank someone with a solid American name. The gentleman who sold me the sim rig that you two can see behind me here.
Oh, right.
His name is Nick as well. He was awesome with walking me through this thing. The process was really easy to get it from him. Not only is he like a service manager at the local the Porsche dealership closest to my house, but he is also a proprietor of an automotive aftermarket website. So if you have specifically a German make car, but really any sort of car that you're looking to soup up, tune up, track it, take it to shows, drift it, whatever it is, functionworks.com. And that is works, W-E-R-K-S. That is
Werks in the German.
Yes.
In the German.
Functionworks.com. is a website that he manages. He and his business partners, I guess you could say, as buddies, run that website. It's a really cool site. You can save your car in the garage. So every time you log in, it'll just have all of the parts that fit your car automatically coming up on the page. It's cool functionality there. He sells some really cool name brands on there as well. So functionworks.com. The other one I have is a more somber one. We, in December, Tristan and I hosted the Karting Roundtable. And one of the fellow carters that were on that show, Brian Janty, competitor of mine in the Tag Masters Championship, good buddy of mine. Unfortunately, over Father's Day weekend, his father passed away unexpectedly. So we said on that podcast, besides the fact that racing is so fun and it lets the competitive juices out, one of the best things, if not the best thing, is the camaraderie of the motorsport community, of the karting community, of the automotive community in general. So listeners, the Janty family needs to see that right now. They need us to rally around them. So, Brian, we're sorry for your loss, Mr. John Janty. We're going to miss you greatly, and rest in paradise up there. And Brian, we're thinking of you and your wife and your family. So, unfortunately, kind of a somber note to end here, but we just needed to make sure that got out there. So, thank you, listeners, for your continued support. We love hearing from you. We love recording this for you, and we cannot wait to speak to you again. Until we do, take care.